I feel a bit daft explaining what happened at the end of the intervention day, because it sounds like too much of a coincidence. But here's what happened. Stephen and Sean helped me get Matty home. We hailed a black cab and the four of us just about squashed in. Once we were settled, Stephen said to Sean, "Have you got anyone yet?" And Sean said, "No." Stephen said, "It's just the three of us then. We'll get slaughtered." Sean shrugged and said, "Any good at quizzes, Maureen? Fancy joining our team? We're desperate." For a moment, I could hardly talk. I'd wanted to take part in a quiz, and these people needed someone for their quiz team. I felt a shiver go down my spine. We took Matty to the respite home to stay for the evening and arranged to meet in the pub where they do their quizzing, and I went home to get changed. The other person on the team was an older man called Jack, who has a newsagent's just off Archway. And he offered me a job. It's three mornings a week, $4.75 an hour, and he told me I'd be on probation at first. But he's getting on a bit and he wants to go back after he's opened the shop and sorted the papers and dealt with the early morning rush. He offered me the job in the same way that Stephen and Sean had asked me whether I wanted to join the quiz team, as a joke, out of desperation. In between the TV round and the sport round, he asked me what I did, and I told him I didn't do anything much apart from look after Matty, and then he said, "You don't want a job, do you?" And a shiver went up my spine again. We didn't win the quiz. We came fourth out of 11 teams, but the boys were quite pleased with that, and I knew some things that they didn't know. I knew that the name of Mary Tyler Moore's boss was Lou Grant. I knew that John Major's son married Emma Noble, and I knew that Catherine Cookson had written about Tilly Trotter. So there were 3 points they wouldn't have got, which might be why they said I could come again. The fourth chap is unreliable, because he's just got a girlfriend. I told them I was the most reliable person they could possibly hope to meet. I was drinking gin and bitter lemons in the pub, and the others wouldn't even let me buy a round. They said I was a ringer and had to be paid for. Maybe it was the drink that left me feeling so positive, but at the end of the evening, I knew that when we met again on March the 31st, I wouldn't be wanting to throw myself off the roof, not for a while. And that feeling that I could cope for now, I wanted to hang on to that for as long as possible. It's going all right so far. The morning after the quiz, I went back to my church. I hadn't been for months and months, ever since I'd begun to make my plans for New Year's Eve, which was when I knew I would be committing the sin of despair. And now I was able to go to the priest and ask for forgiveness, because it was not my intention to commit the sin again. I was nervous before I went to the confessional, but it was fine. Sometimes you can forget that God is infinite in his mercy. He wouldn't have been infinite if I'd jumped, but I hadn't. Do you remember Psalm 50? "Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." I went to Topper's house because I had called and called, and there was no delivery, and my days of trouble showed no signs of ending. But he did hear me, and he sent me Martin and JJ and Jess, and then he sent me Stephen and Sean and the quiz, and then he sent me Jack and the newsagents. How could I have carried on doubting him with all that evidence? So I'd better glorify him as best I can.